From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Central Ohio author Eric John Slangerup writes action-adventure novels for young readers, usually, as he says, something with a monster, robot, or spaceship in it. He's written picture books, the Far-Flung Falls series, not easy to say, and most recently, The Intergalactics, which will be released this September. He will appear at the Columbus, Ohio Book Festival on July 11th and 12th. Welcome to Craft, Eric.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleased to have you here, especially a fellow Central Ohioan. So, monsters, robots, and starships, oh my. What got you into writing adventure fiction for youth?
I've been into the robots and monsters as part of my jam since I could remember. One of my earliest memories is wallpapering our kitchen in drawings of monsters and aliens and ghosts. Funny enough, I started on the art side. I started drawing when I was little because I was slow in the word department. I was slow just in my development and being able to write and to read. Mm-hmm. I was what they call now a reluctant reader. So most writers talk about how they were voracious readers as a kid. That was not the case for me, but I would draw. And then I slowly moved over to words at some point. But as a genre, I grew up on all the, in the 70s and 80s, there's a bunch of schlock, sci-fi, and fantasy movies and TV shows. I just ate them up, loved them all. And with this latest book, I think you can see that I've paid homage to a lot of them. I just love those tropes and try and find an original way into some of those.
Yeah. Are you attempting to say that the attack of the 50-foot woman and the attack of the killer tomatoes are not quality cinematic experiences from your youth?
I will say that those, I'm old enough to remember, they really scared me as a kid.
Yeah.
Because when I go to schools and I share with grade school kids, here are some of the movies that fascinated me and terrified me. And I show them Seventh Voyage of Sinbad and the stop motion Cyclops. They just laugh, like, because effects are so good. This is way before CGI. Yeah. So you had to go along with them in your imagination, you know, but now it's ever since Jurassic Park, anything prior to that looks silly.
Yeah.
And that's where I still look at that and get the shakes.
Yeah. The first movie I remember really frightening me, my parents and family were gone for the night. I had this little black and white TV in my room, and I watched about 5 minutes of the beginning of The Exorcist that was on TV. It was cut for TV, and the growls and the snarls and everything. I can't tell you how old I was, but I turned it on and went, nope. Shut it back off. I turned it on again, shut it off. So yeah, I was traumatized by that, I suppose. But
I want to be a better fan of horror, but I get scared too. Still now, today, I get scared too easily. There's some sci-fi movies that do a mashup between sci-fi and horror.
Right.
And if it's too much on the horror side, sometimes I have to nope out quick.
Mm-hmm. So that's what got you into it. And now you've got the Far-Flung Falls series and the Intergalactics. They're both set in the same time period, one you referred to as, quote, a magical time before cell phones or the internet. Yeah. In other words, the 1980s, a time I'm familiar with as well. The TV show Stranger Things was set in the same time, but apart from being your childhood, why do you think 80s nostalgia is so popular? What led you to put them at that time?
It was important to me. I didn't realize this till after I'd written it because people would ask. And what I recognized over time was that I really wanted to, you feel a need to preserve something like a memory of something that right. of a time that no longer exists. So I'm in a unique situation. I've got six kids and the age range is wide. My oldest is turning 33 this year. Ooh. My youngest is 3.
Oh,
so I've been a parent for a long time. And my experience of being a kid and my experience of being a dad with my older children versus now is it's a different world.
Yeah.
Everything is a different, technology has made it a different world. All the things that I talk about growing up with, like growing up watching syndicated Star Trek in the 70s, a lot of those things are real now. We have voice activated interactions with computers. Mm-hmm. I have it all the time. That's how I do my soundtrack in the morning when I make pancakes. It's a part of life.
Wait.
I'm talking about Alexa.
Okay. Like, I thought you were
on Star Trek. It was computer.
And yes.
Then you would But now it's got a proper name, Alexa.
I
I
was
mean,
really hoping you had some sort of Rube Goldberg-esque pancake-making machine that you talked your way through it in the mornings. You know, put down the batter, flip it.
that's the next creation.
Okay. All right.
I'm just talking about who's playing the music for me.
Right.
It's just
Okay.
that would have blown my mind when I was a kid. Like you had to, it took so much work to track down an artist that you liked, learn what the lyrics were. Most of your life you just guessed, and now everything's at your fingertips. For my younger kids, that is a different world. So like growing up in the 80s, like the kind of the Stranger Things scenario of feral kids on bikes solving problems, that's my childhood. That is how I remember growing up.
Did you
Very
solve a
minimal.
lot of mysteries on your bike back then? Were
We did.
you like,
We, I think we caused a lot of mysteries.
yeah.
Maybe solved a few, but we got into it a little bit and sharp objects were involved. Fire was involved. All
Of
the
course.
things that kids like. Maybe some dares and stunts. Some injuries happened. All of that happened. So all the pieces from Molly and the Machine and the sequel are pretty much taken out of my life.
Okay.
My child. That was easy to draw from as a source.
Right, which suggests that you might encourage your children to do some dangerous things just so you can get more material. Is that something you've been able to
I
get by
am
the committee?
there is a school of thought about introducing a little more danger into kids' lives because the feeling now is that it's too safe. Like in this day and age where I'm going to sound super old, but like kids these days in parks have rubberized ground all around them. And that's good because if you fall over and bonk your head, probably won't sustain the same kind of injury, but also you don't learn how to move through the world in the same way that you would if it were cement, like when I
Right.
was a kid.
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons. I like a
Yep.
little danger.
Yeah. I have noticed they've taken away a lot of that stuff that was on the playground in the 80s. I don't think the teeter-totters are around anymore, which was always fun because you could jump off when the other person was at the top and really introduce them to gravity.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So when you were writing these books about the 80s, how often did you say, well, I better go look this up or just rely on your memory? Because I would be suspicious relying on my own memory about some of the things that happened back then because I'm not terrific at timelines.
I've got a pretty good memory. I do it almost all from memory. And the nice thing about if you link up with one of the larger publishers that has a whole team that kind of scrutinizes your book before it comes out, they fact check everything, every reference that you have. I did not realize a book about the 80s is technically a historical fiction. So they, every single reference, and I don't want to brag, but I was right on 90%. I'll give you an example. I reference Cheese Whiz. And my recollection of Cheese Whiz is you put it on a cracker with a can and it goes.
Right.
But that is actually prior to 1983, which is when my books are set, that first series, that is Easy Cheese. And it was Cheese Whiz was only in a jar until after 1983. And then it became the little spray.
Yeah.
So we had to make an adjustment. And I was, if that's all I got wrong, I was okay with it because I had
Yeah.
lots of other references. I've referenced video games, action figures, movies, everything else was kind of from my memory as a kid.
And these were things that you valued, I assume, at the time and really wanted other people to know about, or they just served the function of moving the plot forward?
Well, the function of moving the plot forward is more about what's not there than what's there. Because, this is not unique to me, but most writers who write for middle grade audience, 8 to 12, once you introduce a cell phone, it changes all the plot points because you've essentially got a walkie-talkie and a GPS device and everything and every answer to everything at your fingertips. You always have to figure out how to get rid of the cell phone. If you just move the timeline back, then they don't exist.
Right.
So that's kind of great. But with the new book coming out, it's called The Intergalactics, and that is set far in the future. And I had to do a similar thing where communication technology exists on a whole new level, and I had to put them in an environment that naturally caused interference because of a polymagnetic rock that they were walking across, so that it was kind of like a signal jammer so that they could not be found because they're lost. So you always have to figure out a way, a kind of to integrate technology and also work around it so that your kids can have an adventure.
And I think you've said that the kids having the adventure is one of the big things that has maybe changed a bit from previous books to the books that are being written now, because you're foregrounding the adventure a bit more than you would have before. Is that accurate?
Well, what do you mean by foregrounding?
So there's more action. You're jumping into the action a bit more
Oh, yeah.
rapidly instead of having
I
more
got you. I got
exposition.
you. Well, so streamline it, just making it for me, for example, my readers like action, like to get to it quick. And to be honest, so do I. I really appreciate books that are all in their feelings. I'm reading some of those right now, and I like big feelings, but I like them in between running for your life from a man-eating plant, you know? And then and mid-run, while you're running for your life and being chased by tentacles, you have an epiphany about your purpose in the universe. That's when I like to have that kind of thoughtful moment. But if it's just that without the physical moving of being in your body and moving from point A to B and having that fully embodied experience of what that's like, that's important for me to write about, because I feel like otherwise a lot of kids now, with the time that we spend on screens, the time that we spend indoors, I've read that this generation, the generation that I write to, is having the least embodied experience of any previous generation, like what it feels like to be so in your body. So I like writing about that, not just in your mind or in your heart, but physically in your body, what that feels like, especially when the stakes are high, and getting to that moment kind of quickly. So my first draft of Intergalactics, because it was crash survival, was the crash. I started with the crash, and my editor was, okay, that's good. Can we back up just a minute? Like, why are they on this craft in the first place? Who are these characters? Why do we care about them? So I always start there, and then oh, okay, you're right. We have a lot happening. We have to give the reader a reason to care about what is happening. Let me back up a space or two. And we did that. And she's always very helpful about collaborating with me on finding the right point to drop into a story. I usually want to start maybe a couple of beats after what might make more sense to a reader. But that's what a good editor's for.
Well, in addition to a good editor, I'm wondering whether of the six children that you have, any of them are good readers for you. Do they get into what dad's doing? Do they give you feedback about it?
Yeah, I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old who are my prime readers right now. They just finished the galleys for, I have some advanced reader copies for Intergalactic. So they are riddled with errors because this is printed. This has to come out before so reviewers can start looking at it, but it says uncorrected. But my kids, they will let me know every time they find a typo on the
Well,
page.
it's got to feel good, you know, to
Yeah.
correct your author father.
Oh, yeah, they do that. But what I was going to say is they don't give it up easily. So this has been the book that they have been most complimentary about. In fact, my 10-year-old, last week she said, Dad, she said, I wish I'd never read that book so I could read it again and be surprised all over again. Because it's got some twists and turns. And man, that might have been the best review I've ever received. That was great. That one really touched me. So
That needs to be the blurb on your cover.
I was thinking that I got a great blurb from an author who I really admire, but I was like, that is coming pretty close. That might have to go on the cover too.
Well, we'll link to that on the Craft the Show website, and it'll lead to your website where people can read about that, buy it in
Oh,
September
thank you.
when it's released. But before then, they can go to the Columbus Book Festival, July 11th and 12th, to see you in person. So, Eric John Slangerup, thank you very much, and congratulations on your books, and keep doing the cool stuff.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's been great talking.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.